Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Amid a swirl of stars, a pale blue dot, our world, drifts through the cosmic dark. A lonely planet of isolated life on the far-flung edge of a universe that rarely speaks back. And here on this quiet world, more than 8 billion souls rise each morning beneath the same sun. Billions of heartbeats, billions of stories, billions of inner monologues of hope and hurt. Gathered in cities, lit like artificial constellations, we brush shoulders in crowded streets, share walls, look up into the same skies, and still an ache thrums beneath the surface of our existence. An epidemic of loneliness no amount of proximity seems able to cure. It's a strange thing to feel alone in a crowd, to feel the weight of your own soul surrounded and yet not truly seen, at least not in the depths of who we are. So we turn to other places, other worlds, digital sanctuaries where the barrier of skin no longer matters. We seek community in the glow of screens, in the quiet companionship of voices that come from nowhere and everywhere. We welcome the seductive substitute of non-human connection, comforted by an artificial intelligence that promises to understand us. We stare into the small, illumined boxes in our hands, as though they are portals to the belonging we can't quite find in the flesh. Endlessly scrolling, endlessly searching, reaching with our thumbs for something our hearts cannot name. Hoping an algorithm might notice us where people have not. Hoping the digital multiverse might echo back the significance we struggle to feel in our own skin. Yet, even here, especially here, the hollow space inside us, carved by the longing to be known, hums with an ancient ache. The sense that we were made for something more, a communion deeper than pixels or passing chats can offer. Our self-sufficient loneliness tells us the truth about ourselves. We were never meant to be alone. We were never made to walk in isolation. We were created to walk with God. Yet for thousands of years, we perceived that presence only through a veil, a dim awareness stirring in the corners of our hearts, an insistence, a persistence, an overflowing divine presence God so desperately wanted us to have that He wrapped it in the fragile flesh of humanity, a tiny bundle of human with God's self in it, and He gave it a name so there would be no question of who the gift was or who it was for. Emmanuel, God with us.
At 56 years of age, I'm not quite there yet, George found himself in a place that would have been concerning for almost all of us. He had had a debilitating stroke that had left him unable to use his hands. And those hands had been an important part of his career. On top of that, two of his major competitors in his field had joined together to put his business out of business. George had already declared bankruptcy, and now his creditors were circling for what looked like would be the final stroke. The final thing that would put him completely out of a career that he had spent a lifetime building up. On top of that, George had no immediate family. At 56, he had never married. His parents were long passed away. No children, no safety net. Just him. And I can only imagine how lonely George must have felt. And at this time of year, it perhaps is not shocking that many people feel like George, lonely. We talk about good cheer, we talk about family, but the fact of the matter is that the Surgeon General in 2023 said that there is an epidemic of loneliness sweeping this country. And since 2023, things have not gotten better. The studies that I read from this year say that things are actually getting worse. More people are lonely. More people are feeling desperate. More people are feeling like their future, their hope, is not there. And at Christmas time, at the time where everybody's supposed to be happy and families are supposed to be getting along, and you might be wanting to buy gifts for your kids, and the economy isn't doing what you need it to be doing, I have a question for you. This Christmas, what do you want more? Presents? Or presence? I mean, if we want both. But if you had to pick one, what do you want? Do you want presence? Or do you want presence? I don't know whether I'm just getting to be an old guy or what. But for me, the answer is not even close. I want presence. I look forward to my friend who calls me up on the fly and says, hey, got time for chess today? Yeah, come on over, let's do this. Last week, one of you sent me a text message and said, hey, you want to grab lunch? Oh, yes, presence. Let's do it. My daughter, who's in college right now, called me yesterday from college and said, I'm trying to figure out the whole presents thing. What are you wanting? And I don't know. You know what I want? If you feel like you have to buy something for me, let's go to a concert together. Let's go to some artist that you like that I don't understand. We did that, and it was one of the best concerts I've ever been to. We went to a concert of Daniel. Anyway, it was somebody. It was awesome. It was amazing. The music was great, and being with it, my daughter and having her explain to me why this guy was a genius. And he was. Believe me, this guy was incredible. Priceless. Presence. In fact, if I really stop and think about it, like, I can't, how many, do you guys have good memories for what you got when you're 4 years old, 5 years old, what was under the Christmas tree when you're 6 years old? I do. I remember. I'm not sure which, I think it was five or six, I think. I remember. It's the only one I remember, but I remember that one because it was a fire truck. with a ladder that went up, right? And even better, they got me a fireman's hat that had like the little thing that went around, and it's right. Back then, you guys are not impressed with the technology, but back then, that was cutting edge. Electricity was new. But you know what I remember? And I think the reason why I remember that present is because I remember seeing it under the tree, and I remember my dad and my mom getting down on their hands and knees and playing with me with that truck. And I think that may be why it's so stuck in my mind. Presents. The present was nice. The presence is what made it unforgettable. So what do you want for Christmas? Presents or presence? Here's the thing. I don't really like this part of the sermon, so feel free to tune out. Grab your phone, whatever. Here's why I don't like it. I said I like presents, but I'm not present. My daughter comes from home from college. My son comes home from work and doing his stuff. And I say I want their presence, but oh, did I feel an alert on my phone? Ooh. Who's texting me? Oh, I did. I forgot to do the Wordle today. Better get on that. Don't want that streak to go away. Don't worry, I'll be right with you as soon as... Am I the only one? We say we want presents, but we check out. We check out. Our mind is somewhere else. We're not really present. We want presence, but if you're like me, you're not fully present. And it's embarrassing when your child says, I don't think you heard anything I said, or your spouse. And you're like, no, I'm pretty sure you said kettle. There is kettle in there somewhere. I say I want presents, but I kind of am a little stingy with my own. I don't want to be that way. None of us do, but the world is distracting. And sometimes I can be in the very same spot with those I love and be far from present. But there's this ache in our human soul for people to see us and to be with us. And I believe, as a pastor, that God put it there. I think that at the very beginning, the Bible tells me that God created humanity in his image, to be like him. And God is a God of presence. He is present. That's why he made us in his image. He wants time with us. And there's strong evidence in that Genesis story, in that Garden of Eden story, that God showed up every evening and went for a walk with Adam and Eve. How cool is that, right? Every evening, God shows up in the garden and takes a walk with them. That's why he was looking for them that one evening when they didn't show up, when they were not present. And then as we continue to flip the pages of the Bible, we find God walking with Enoch, present. We see God visiting Abraham, being present. On Mount Sinai, we see God thunder and lightning, and we see him speak to Moses and the children of Israel. And he takes it one step further. He says, I don't want to stay up on this mountain. Build me a place to live, a sanctuary, that I may live in your midst. In that original language, it's not that he wants to be adjacent to, around, in the neighborhood. He basically says, I want to be right in the center of everything you're doing. I want to be in your midst. I want to be doing things with you. Build me a place to live so I can be with you. Be present. Then we see God speaking through prophets. Speaks through Ezekiel. Speaks through Obadiah, Hosea, Amos. He speaks through the prophets. He speaks to kings. He speaks to people in an attempt to be present with his people. And his people at times want that presence. And other times they're like, hey, we got this. We're good. We'll do our own thing. Oh, no, we're in trouble. We really could use your presence again, please. And in my opinion, the penultimate, for those of you who don't know, I love that word, I do. The penultimate expression of God's desire to be present is a baby that we are celebrating during this service today. Emmanuel, God with us. God taking on human flesh and being born to a humble family. And as I told you a couple Christmases ago, why was God born in a humble family? My theory is because it made him available to everybody. If he'd been born to somebody wealthy, they would have had guards, because that's what you do when you don't want your stuff stolen and when you got something important. But Jesus was born to a family that couldn't afford armed security, which meant that the shepherds could come and visit him, and it meant the magi could come and visit him. It means he was accessible. God with us, present, available with us. And a few of you are feeling a little confused that I would say that's the penultimate example, because isn't this the ultimate example? God wrapping himself in flesh and living. But there's a few of you in here that are my kind of people, because you say, yeah, I get why you're saying that. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because must have been nice to be a shepherd. I'd love to have angel choirs come and sing to me. That'd be pretty fantastic. Yeah, I'd love to go to the manger and see the baby. I'd love to worship. I would love to be one of those wise men, the magi. I would love to come and worship the baby. I would love to be Mary or Joseph. That would be incredible. I would love to be Anna or Simeon that recognized Jesus. I would love to put my hands on Jesus. I would love to be present physically with Jesus. Must have been nice to be those disciples who got to spend 3.5 years watching miracles and hearing God talk directly to them. Must have been an incredible thing to have a meal with Jesus, to sleep in the same area as Jesus, to be around him, to smell what he smelled like. It must have been an incredible thing. Must have been nice, Ken. But is God with us now? Or is he adjacent? Somewhere we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate God being present for other people, but for us, we get to read the stories and imagine what that would have been like. But is God really, truly present today? I don't know. I don't hear him. I don't see him. I don't smell him. Is he really present? Here's why I said I think that this birth is the penultimate example. Jesus says something kind of crazy to his disciples. He says, that's not the one I wanted. I'm going to give you the one I want to give you. Let me give it to you anyway. Long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. And you're like, yep, I got a Bible. I read it too, Ken. But Jesus also said this, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving. Now, we all get this in a holiday spirit, right? It is to our advantage when our relatives leave at the end. It is to everybody's advantage, right? But really, is it to our advantage that Jesus left? Wouldn't it have been better if we had just after he was resurrected, built him a nice place to live, and he would have just stayed, and we could go visit him over, you know, just still around, still here. But Jesus says, no, it's to your advantage that I am leaving, for if I do not leave, the helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, and why is it important that the Holy Spirit come to you? Because God was not content to just work miracles in front of you, to just be around you. Christ wanted to live in you. And this is the ultimate example of God's presence. It is not just a baby that was born in Bethlehem wrapped in human flesh. It is a God who did that and now wants to live in you if you will open the door. It doesn't get closer than that. And I think that if you're like me, sometimes it feels like God isn't there because I am distracted. I don't take time to look for God, to hear God. I'm just like, well, where are you? I want something physical that I can touch when God is physically here. But for those of you who do want something physical, if you're like, I really want to be able to touch God, I want to touch Jesus, I want to be around, I want to smell what he smells like, Jesus has good news for you. That is completely possible right here, right now. I want you to walk out of the doors here today. I want you to drive until you find a homeless person by the side of the road asking for money. And I want you to drive through the nearest drive-thru, and I want you to get a big bag of food, and I want you to hand that to them. And you have just served a meal to Jesus. I want you to look at the undocumented immigrant that is here and struggling, and I want you to see a human being created in God's image, not a political pawn for Democrats and Republicans to argue about, but a person that has real feelings and real value to God. And whatever the laws of the land may be, they are still a human being that deserves your love, your respect, and your kindness. And you have seen Jesus when you see them and when you spend time with them. I want you to walk out of this place and find somebody who's thirsty and give them something to drink. I want you to find somebody who went to jail for legitimate reasons and visit them. And when you do, you will be visiting Jesus. Because Jesus said, when you did it for them, you did it for me. A lot of us want Jesus' physical presence, and he's right there, and we're like, no thanks. Jesus kind of stinks. Jesus doesn't look like me. Jesus didn't vote the same way I voted. That's not Jesus. That's an enemy. But my family, it's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, when you did it for them, no matter how they voted, you did it for me. So if you want God's presence, go find it. You won't have to walk far. You won't even actually have to walk out of this place. You will find people in this place who walked in here today and nobody said hello to them. And they are longing for somebody to know they're here. And when you greet them, you are greeting Jesus. George understood that. In spite of the circumstances that I shared with you, George understood what I've just told you about. He might not have had any immediate family. He might have had a lot of physical discomfort. He might have been in an incredibly strained financial situation. But George was a man of faith. I'm not talking about the showy kind. He's probably the kind of Christian that some of us might judge today. He worked in a secular industry. Yeah, very secular industry. And while he wasn't preachy about his faith, he helped out a lot of people in need. When he had been rich, he was very giving. And even when he was poor, he still managed to figure out how to give. And one of his close friends, somebody who cared about him, saw what he was going through, said, "I want to give something of me to you." And he gave a gift to George that he believed George could take and maybe turn into something that might help turn his life around. Charles believed in George enough to give him something that was worth something, because he knew George could take it and do something with it. And about this same time, one of the charities that George had done a lot of work with through the years said, "George, we want to pay you to come and do a job for us. We need a fundraiser, and we want you to help us with that fundraiser. And it might just be enough money to help you keep your nose just above water." George took those two things and did something with them. He thought, "My friend's gift is the perfect thing to use for this fundraiser." Because George's friend was a lyricist. In other words, this guy put together the words for songs. And what he'd given to George was the enough words for enough songs for a whole concert. And what George had been asked to do was to do a benefit concert for this charity. And so George thought to himself, "I think I'm going to take my friend. I'm going to take my friend Charles's words, and I am going to put music to it and create an entire concert that I will do for this charity that's asked me to do it." And it is an incredible thing. In 24 days, George created an entire musical concert. The people who worked with him reported hearing him weeping as he was writing the music for the biblical words that his friend had compiled. You see, his friend had gone and taken a bunch of scriptures and put them together into lyrics. And now George went and started putting the music to those lyrics. And his servants heard him weeping. Why? I believe it wasn't because he thought, "I'm a musical genius. I'm doing something incredible." I think it was because in the loneliness and the pain and the suffering that he was going through, those words that his friend had compiled spoke to him. And as he put music to it, he felt the presence of God. And I'm convinced that he felt the presence of God, not because I just have a feeling about it, but because when he wrote the signature piece, George Friedrich Handel said, "I did think I saw all heaven before me and the great God himself." Handel was broke and about to be thrown into debtor's prison when this happened. He created that concert that we call Messiah and performed it in Dublin. And as poor and as hard as his circumstances were, that first concert, he donated everything to charity. 142 people in debtor's prison were freed because of that concert. He used more of that money to help children who were orphans in hospitals. It would take him another 5 to 8 years before he became incredibly successful and wealthy again. But what George Friedrich Handel did was every year put on a performance of Messiah that benefited a hospital for children who didn't have parents and those who couldn't afford medical care, because George Friedrich Handel understood the power of God's presence in him and coming out through him. This Christmas, Like the angels invited the shepherds, I invite you, if you have not already, to invite God's presence into your life. It's not complicated. It is not hard. It is simply saying, dear God, come live in me. I give you permission. That's it. Do that. And you will still have the same presence that was in that manger all those years ago, living in you. And even better still, you will start to change your world the way Handel changed his world. Because to this day, we sing the lyrics of that nearly every Christmas time. So like Handel, I want to proclaim something to you today. We serve an all-powerful God who is present with us. I'm here to tell you that the King of Kings is present right now. He is the Lord of Lords. And if you will allow him, he will reign forever and ever. I love you, family. God love your world.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.